Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
This is the CC Radio Podcast.
It was just the most massive thing I've ever seen. To tell you the honest truth, I thought, well, we're the only ones left on this planet. Something's happened. We've missed something here.
The fear that went in me when I seen it was just the feeling. I'd say it was fear, but I've never felt that feeling before in my entire life.
It's a weird feeling, like you can't explain it when you don't know. You feel like you're being followed, but you don't know what it is.
We had two to our right, another one in front of us, another one to the left, and another one just across the road, shaking the daylight out of the tree. All we get is a big red eye.
I remember waking up and looking at the end of the bed, and there was a figure there, almost insect-like, and then I blacked out.
Welcome to the show, everyone. You are listening to Believe, Paranormal and UFO Radio. My name is Cade Moyer, and thanks for tuning in. If you've had an encounter, get in touch with me. My email address is believe@ccradio.com.au, or you can message me on Facebook at facebook.com/believeUFOradio. If you enjoy this episode, there are a few things you can do to help the show. Firstly, you can go to iTunes and leave us a 5-star rating and review. Or you can share the show around social media with your friends and family, and that would help us grow. Tonight I'm joined by Randy, and Randy had an encounter with what we think might be a Hatman type of entity. Randy, welcome to the show.
G'day, Mr. K. Thanks for having me.
It's great to have you on, Randy. We haven't had very many Hatman encounters on the show, and when I saw the message that you sent me, I was very intrigued by it because I think the Hatman is kind of like this fad in the paranormal world, but your encounter happened so long ago.
Yeah, this is 22 years ago. 20, maybe 24, actually, now that, yeah, putting the date on it.
So, are you able to walk
old,
us?
Because I'm old now. Thanks. Yeah. That's a reminder.
Yeah. We're all old these days. It's 2020's aged people very harshly, I think.
Yeah.
So, mate, yeah. Do you want to walk us through this encounter that you had?
Yeah. Cool. All right. So, we used to go. I'm 42 now, but when we were growing up, my parents had a caravan in a town called Bright, which is northeast Victoria, up in like the Alpine sort of mountainy area. Sort of like a valley at the foot of a whole bunch of ski hills. Either way, they had this caravan. So, you know, as you do when you turn 18, all of my crew used to go up. All of my friends just used to go up. And because we were kids and we were pretty, you know, well-behaved, but even still, we still like to, you know, just have a lot of fun, just weird fun. So one night, a mate of mine, from the caravan park to the edge of town, I think it's a map down on Google Earth. I think it's about four and a half, maybe five Ks. We used to just go for a late night walk, you know, maybe put a beer in each pocket and then just go for a wander, you know. And we got to the edge of town, walking back. Off the top of my head, I can't remember. I don't think it was actually particularly moonlit. And you would notice up there because there's nothing else. There's only a couple of, you know, there's street lights. But if there was no street lights, you need the moon to be able to see where you're going. Otherwise, it's sort of, you know, can't see your hand in front of your face, sort of dark. Either way, this main street that leads, which is, I think, the Great Alpine Highway, but it's got a different name when it's in Bright, it's so overgrown with these giant, beautiful trees, and it's got street lights, you know, whatever, every 200 metres thereabouts. And the way that the light works up there is it's mostly just black. So you're walking, you know, because it's country, you're sort of walking right up the middle of the road or on the right-hand side of the road or whatever. And all you can see is these giant white pools, like the proper almost circles of white light. And you cross one and you'd be all lit up. And then you get bang, boom, straight back into darkness as soon as you get to the edge of that street light. Then you walk, you know, 50 meters in pure black darkness, just aiming, you know, just loosely aiming for the next big pool of light. So we're doing that. We're walking back to the caravan park, and we're just chatting. And I'm just going to say the detail because I know you like detail. And we're talking about the idea of Plato's cave. Now, I still don't understand it. People out there might understand it. I don't. I can never really get my head around that part of it. Anyway, that's what I remember exactly what we were talking about. And I was a small little kid. I'm a big fat man now, but I was a small kid. I was walking with my giant, muscly friend. He's not tall, but he was wide, man. This guy's like an ox. So I was never scared of anything when I was hanging around with this guy. So we're walking. We start to approach one of the next big pool of light, and we're walking on the right hand side of the road heading back into town. And I go, "Oh, John, can you hear that?" And he's like, "Yeah." And we keep walking, and it's this weird squeaking sound, right? Like, I know. Actually, now that you mention it, it is a little bit sort of ghost story, like haunted house sort of stuff. But I didn't think about that until you said it before. I get that. But at the time, it didn't. It just seemed weird. It just seemed like, you know, something might have been banging on a fence or, I don't know, it's country. What do you, you know, I don't know these things. So we're walking and hear this, and we can hear our own feet on the gravel. That's how dead quiet this, you know, whatever time of night it was. I think it was like 1 a.m. And we come into the light, this pool of light, and there's, you know, streetlights on directly on opposite side of the road. So you get these two giant overlapping pools. As we get, how to describe, I'd say hypothetically the pool of light's about 20 meters wide. We get about halfway in, and on the opposite side of the road, walking in the opposite direction, here's the sound. Here's what the sound is. It is a giant man, and I reckon easily 6.5-7 foot tall. Now, the thing is, like I was saying before, it's country, and they grow big in the country. So when you go to Brighton, it's not surprising to see, you know, six men that are 6'3". You know, they're just big men. But this thing was like easily 6.5-7 foot tall, pushing a pram, but not just any pram, like an old Elizabethan or Victorian, and I don't even know if that's actually the correct way, but when I say that, everyone knows what I'm talking about, like those old spidery looking prams. And the guy had a hat on. Now, I'm not saying it's a hat man, I don't know that. It's just that I have to call it something. And the thing was wearing a hat. This thing was giant, but because of the brim of the hat and the angle of that light, you couldn't see a face. I know it was wearing a long jacket. I can't remember. We only used to go up in summer, so the long jacket seems a little bit out of place now that I think about it. But either way, this thing crosses over. I can't see its face, but we're both looking over it. You know, you run into something like that at 1 a.m. Even if it's a normal human, I will go over and go, "Good evening," or, you know, "Good night," sort of whatever, and nothing, no response. I just turn and face forward again because none of my business, you know what I mean? A giant man pushing a pram, 1 a.m, none of my business. You do what you want, buddy. I keep walking forward, and we get about 5 meters, like, John, do you reckon it was looking at us? And John's like, "Yeah, I know it's looking at us." And I say, "How can you know?" And he goes, "Because I'm still looking at it." And so about 3 meters later, 3 meters, not 3 minutes, 3 meters later, John looks forward, take another few steps, and bang, I'm like, "John, we both stop. Can you hear it anymore?" No. That was it. And we both turn around, and again, trying to, just to make that part clear, you can see for hundreds of meters, but all you can see are these pools of light, you know, with blackness in between. So if nothing else, we should have still been able to see a silhouette. We should have been able to hear the sound. Nothing. It just disappeared.
That's creepy, man. That's really creepy. Oh,
so weird, yeah.
That's that really does fit a lot of the traits of the Hat Man, because, like, when I hear stories of the Hat Man, I always hear that it's an out-of-time looking character, and they always are incredibly tall. like over 6 foot, and everything that you kind of said there,
yeah,
really doesn't match that.
I didn't know that. Like you though, you know how you were saying that sort of like a thing people started talking about the Hatman a lot in, you know, in paranormal, I don't know, whatever's. I just sort of went, that seems a bit bland. You know what I mean? Like, until you see something like that, you know. But I never thought about it as a Hatman, but it was really tall, and it's sort of strange. I've always called it a ghost. But the way I think about ghosts these days, that doesn't even seem to fit either, unless it was back from 200 years ago. Bright barely existed 200 years ago, you know? So it's not necessarily a ghost out of time. It's just something freaky.
So what do you think it was if it wasn't a ghost?
Nah, don't know. I really don't know. I couldn't even... I like to think about a lot of different... You know, I'm pretty open with a lot of concepts. I've got no idea. I don't know why, because there are no explanations for, even if it was a real person, which, you know, like I said, they're growing big in the country. I don't know why the dude's wearing a hat and a jacket pushing a Victorian-style pram at 1 a.m. Again, none of my business. But that sort of seems out of place. If it was a ghost, I always just think of ghosts as, you know, I don't know, dead people sort of just reanimating in time. You know what I mean? Like, I've got, that's how I think about ghosts when... I don't know, when people walk through walls and stuff, you go, well, maybe there wasn't a wall there in the past. They're just sort of stuck in this time loop. But even if that was the case with this dude pushing a pram, what sort of time loop is that? Where's he from? When was that ever a real thing, that this guy's pushing a pram at 1 a.m?
Yeah, there's a lot of questions there, really, isn't there? Because, like you said, there's a couple of different hauntings that people can really identify. And there's one which is called a residual haunting, which is... say a spirit's kind of replaying that one moment in time over and over and over again. And then there's ones that seem to have a little bit of sentience to it. And I don't know where this one falls, because it almost seems like it made itself aware to you. And then it was looking at you and your mate, because with your mate saying that he was looking at it, looking at you guys. I mean, that's an acknowledgement that you're there from it.
Oh, I get what you mean. So it's definitely seeing us. It's not trapped in like some sort of a... Yeah, I get what you mean. So it's not just stuck in a time loop. It's looking at us walking down the road on the opposite side of the road to it as well. You know, and it's so strange. Like I like to think, you know how like when people say, oh, you know, things go silent, you know, when, I don't know, sort of freaky stuff's going on. The kicker is, it's silent there anyway. It's 1 a.m, so I can't really... I mean, we could hear the gravel on... Yeah, it's really, really tricky to try and go along those lines. The fact that... It's weird, because my mate doesn't like to talk about it too much. If you push him, he's got no issues, but it's not like something... I always have to bring it up with him if I ever want to think about it, you know what I mean? But he's never gone into more detail of if it did anything or if it just kept looking at us. And it's when you know, when you cross paths and you, I don't know, what's this dude? He's like 10 meters away. When you cross paths, you sort of have to turn your body to keep looking at it. That's what my mate did. So I assume that that's what this thing did.
Oh, you know? Wow.
Yeah. I didn't. Now I was not interested. I just wanted to keep going forward and get out of there. And like I was saying to you before, I'm pretty sure we thought about running. Like, you know, as soon as it happened, can we see it? No, we can't see it. We can't hear it. Should we run? Well, where are we going to go? You know what I mean? We've still got like 3Ks. I can't run 3Ks. I couldn't run it then. I can't run it now, you know.
So did your mate say anything about what he could see on this thing? Like, was there any facial features?
No. And so coming back to what you were saying before, that's also part of the freakiest thing. And that's sort of what got me. It knew, and I'm not saying it was doing this on purpose, but the circumstances of that sighting was it appeared at exactly the right time to not see its face. Like the brim caught that light of that streetlight perfectly and cast the shadow all the way down its body. You know what I mean? So I could tell that it was wearing a jacket, but a lot of that was purely just because of the silhouette. You know, so yeah, I haven't thought about this properly, but you know how people talk about, like, not necessarily Hatman, but you get these super black, dark things, you know what I mean? So they almost suck the light out of the air. looking back, that's sort of how it feels in my memory. But again, you're in the middle of the country under a bright street light, you know, under this brim of the hat. The whole thing was black anyway. It might call you next week and say, I saw two guys walking down the street. I couldn't see them. So you never know.
Yeah, it is interesting, especially now that you say that. It kind of seemed to just be this black figure, because did you see a shadow person then? It really does open up that criteria.
Pushing a pram. Yeah. Pushing a Victorian-style pram for no reason.
It's It just really keeps adding to the creepiness of that whole situation.
With that squeaky wheel, man, the squeaky wheel is the thing that sticks in my head, because we could hear it coming, couldn't see it coming, but we could hear it, and it appeared. And like when we saw the pram, it was sort of strange, because my brain went, oh, that's where the squeakiness is coming from. Like, you know what I mean? I didn't care about the 7-foot-tall hat man. I was like, oh, now I get it. Now, that's not as, you know, that's not so weird anymore. Then you go, oh, hang on, wait, yeah, there's a giant man pushing the pram at 1 a.m. Maybe that is a bit weird.
Yeah, it is. It's a very peculiar encounter there, Randy. It's I wonder if that area is haunted or by something, or if that was just dumb luck.
I can't see too much in that area. You know, some places have got Beechworth, which is ages away, but in that same region of northeast Victoria, Beechworth's really popular for hauntings because they had a jail there, and you know, just weird stuff, a lot of gold mining and so on. So you hear a lot of those sort of old tales. Bright, nothing special that I know of.
Yeah, I wonder if there's anyone out there that listens to the podcast that can maybe fill us in. Maybe there's some local history, because when it comes to small towns, getting people in those smaller towns to talk about the weird stuff that goes on in there it's really, really difficult, because I reckon there's a lot of encounters that are just lost to history because people don't want to be labeled as the crazy of the town.
Oh, that's a good point. Yeah. I have heard, because my parents used to go up there a lot more than I did, and there's a cemetery in that town where people have talked about seeing like fireflies and orbs and things like that floating around in the cemetery. So, and I know that sounds freaky. That's sort of boring freaky for me, though. You know what I mean? Like, I go, ah, yeah. You know, I like entities. I like to think about what are these weird, you know, when they, if they're orbs, you go, ah, it's more flash floating lights. But so that definitely does go on up in Bright. Mum's heard about that, but nothing like my one. Or not that I know of. So who's going to, yeah, but who's going to tell? This is the first time I've talked about it properly in 20 years. So who the fuck am I to say what these people are going to say or not?
And that's exactly it. It's these stories, they really do get lost to time, just because, you know, the fear of ridicule is quite large, especially in those smaller towns. And, you know, it's kind of good that there's platforms like this and other podcasts where people can go on and share their encounters, you know, under sure. different names to really get these stories out there. But, and now a quick word from our sponsor.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Also, are you wanting more content? Why not become a Believe Plus member? You'll get access to exclusive podcasts and episodes that aren't available to the public. Not only that, you'll also get our regular feed without any ads. Head to believepod.com/plus to sign up today for just $5 a month. So, Randy, your life isn't the only one that's full of, I guess, unusual encounters in your family now, is it?
No, not at all.
So your mum has had quite an interesting encounter, and is that something you're willing to share?
Yeah, oh, for sure. That's why I got in contact with you and then remembered about the Hat Man thing, which is dumb. But mum's is such a humdinger, it sort of trumps anything weird that it's just so mind-blowingly strange that you say when, man, because I could talk about it for hours.
Well, man, let's get into it because I'd love to hear about it.
All right, cool. So, Mum came over. She's, I don't know, 70 or something now, but when she grew up in Scotland, and she lived there till she was 16, then they migrated to Australia. Blah, 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 boring part of the story. But I've known, because I've always been interested in the paranormal and weird stuff, and so I'd always ask about it, and I always knew that Mum had seen a ghost. Mum's seen a ghost. No one would ever talk about it, but you know, I knew that my mum had seen a ghost. In my head, growing up, and what am I, 42 now, only until last year did I not know that so I didn't realise that Mum saw this thing when she was 16. And what happened is, they're all poor, you know what I mean, like back then in Scotland, but they grew up on the ground floor of a shop. Like the bedroom was actually off the main part of the shop. The shop sits on a roundabout where three parts of a bridge come together, like a roundabout. And this is sort of important. Like, this is the detail that I reckon is sort of important. The bridge is a rock bridge, flows over a river, yada, yada, yada. They're so poor. There's her and two sisters sleeping in the same bed. And I didn't realize Mum was, I think, 15 at the time. She's got a twin sister. Her sister is sleeping next to her. And they've got another sister that's like 7 years younger. And she's sleeping, blah, 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 on the left or something like that. In the middle of the night, my mum and her twin sister wake up because they hear the clinking of milk bottles. So, you know, it is, what I don't know, they used to deliver the milk in glass bottles. They hear the clinking of the bottles. And so Mum and her twin sister wake up. The next thing they know is they can hear this sound. And the best way that Mum can describe it is like high tension wires. And when Mum said that to me, I was like, do you mean like that weird, like that high pitched part? And she's like, no. It's that constant throbbing, buzzing sound. So that.
Yeah, sound. Yeah.
You know, and it's sort of strange because I'm not a muser. I work as a draftsman, but I do a lot of music on the side, and I moved more into like electronic and so on. So I've got a lot of equipment that can make a lot of weird noise. So I'm dying to get Mum to come around and then just try and replicate that noise through the equipment, you know, because it must be possible. Either way, so I'm digressing. So they hear this high tension wire electrical tower sound. This thing just manifests. And when I say this thing, it's like 3 to 4 foot tall, standing on the end of the bed. I think it's wearing a suit, but it's not, it's transparent. So they can see this thing appear. It manifests in front of them with this electrical high tension noise going on. And her sister is awake next to her, and Mum's like, can you see that? And her sister's like, yeah, I could see it. And her sister says to my mum, should we scream? And I think that that's the funniest part of the story. Like, what the fuck? What do you reckon? That's so scary. It looks like a grey alien's appearing. High tension noise. They start screaming. They start howling their throats out. And it's all still going on, the noise, blah, blah, blah. The thing's sort of standing there looking at them and starts to dematerialize from the knees up. So Mum said that, look, because I've asked her about it so many times, from memory she reckons that she could never actually see the feet anyway. Like, the feet never actually fully manifested. The rest of it did. And then when they started screaming from the knees up, it just started to dematerialize until it got to, you know, to the top of the head or whatever. Boom, they hear like a crack or something like that. It turns into an orb, bounces to the other side of the bed, and disappears out of view, just blinks out of existence.
That's incredible.
It's weird, man. That it covers so many, because I've been reading, like I said, I listen to a lot of, you know, paranormal stuff, real little paranormal stuff, it is so strange because I like it's like science fiction. You know, it's beyond paranormal at that point. You just go, hang on, that was a thing. Something was going on. Like, if this thing appeared to look at you, and that the noise that they've got going on in their ears must mean something. I don't know what that something is. Maybe it's an electrical thing that happens in our heads when this sort of activity is going on. Maybe it's the noise of whatever whatever equipment they're using when they manifest or whatever. The fact that it was looking at them then turns into an orb. So it turns into a bright light, bounces around the room. So it bounced the other side of the bed, then bounced off the bed, and then disappeared out of existence. And then, of course, the whole family come running in, yada, 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 what's going on, sort of deal. And I've asked specifically to my mum, I said, look, when you heard the clinking of the bottles and you're not even in that same room. So it's not like it walked through a wall to get to your room. It must have, if you heard something hit the bottles outside, it got from outside the shop through two walls. And I said, but did you actually see it come through a wall? It said, no, it was just there all of a sudden. You know what I mean? It just started to, well, it didn't even start to manifest. It just, boom, it was on. And then started to slowly switch off. And here's, just because I'm such a nerd about this sort of thing, I asked Mum specifically, I said, okay, well, look, did you sleep with the lights on? No. Well, then how did you see it? It must have been self-illuminating because there were no lights on in the room. I don't know. They might have slept with the curtains open. Maybe it was lit by moonlight. I never got to that part of the story. But if that's not the case, how could they see it in the dark if it wasn't self-luminescent?
Yeah, that's a really good point, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. And look, that town, it's a town called Dalmellington in Ayrshire in Scotland, and it had a lot of different freaky stuff going on. And I think only because of, you know, when people look at data sets and, you know, what are all these weird connections of things that are going on when, you know, paranormal shit happens. Man, they were right in the thick of it. They lived in a house on a stone bridge over flowing water. And you said that the house was actually part of the bridge to a degree where when it really rained, they could hear the house, they could hear the river flowing under them when they were trying to sleep at night.
Oh, wow.
So, oh, yeah, man. Yeah, yeah. Really bizarre. That's what I'm saying. I only found all of this out maybe January this year, maybe the end of last year.
Yeah. So your mum's been holding out on you, really?
Well, I just think that she must. It's so strange because no one in our family, except for me, is really interested in paranormal stuff at all anyway. You know, so without, and then, and even when she told me, you really have to press her for details because she doesn't care about it. You know what I mean? Like, she's a really normal person. And this hasn't, I don't think that this has really affected her at all. Except, well, just to go into a little more detail of what happened then, she never slept in that house ever again. So,
after that experience right there.
Sorry?
Right after that experience.
Bang, that was it, man. She never slept in that house ever again. Oh, they woke up screaming that night. Her grandmother lived, I don't know, like a mile away. I guess you'd say mile because it's, you know, UK. She went and stayed with the grandma for a year. Then the whole family came and stayed with the grandma for 3 months. Then they all moved to Australia. Bang, that was it. Get out of there.
Wow. It had to have some profound effect on her for her never wanting to go back there.
Nah, not even interested. Check this out. Look, the parents, man, my grandparents were hard. They still sent them to school the next day. And yeah, you know what I mean? But look, don't get me wrong. My parents probably would have as well. My mum grew up just as hard as hers. And so the kid went to school the next day. They told one of the other boys, who was a little bit of a freak, you know, in their class, and he said, oh, yeah, I believe you. You know, because all the kids would make fun of you sort of thing. But one of the boys was like, yeah, I believe you. A lady in pink comes to tuck me in at night. And I'm like, what? What are you talking about, Mum? You know, and she said, oh, yeah, Billy McNilly. Well, I don't know, some Scottish name. It's, he grew up in a house and a pink lady would walk into the room a lady in a pink creoline, I don't know what that means, it's a pink creoline dress, would come in at night, nod to him, and then walk out the other side of the wall. So, and he that was every night for 10 years. He just thought it was normal. Because, and don't get me wrong, it's a small village back in the 50s or whatever, you know. So it was probably a little bit backwards anyway. Not a lot of internet back then, you know.
Not a lot of progression.
So it was just a weird town.
Yeah, that's a lot of weirdness going on there, isn't it?
Yeah. But I reckon it's the water. Now that you hear about all this stuff, I think it's got a lot to do with either water and stone, and I don't know, especially electricity. And I don't understand a lot about electricity, but because I know you always ask your guests, oh, well, what do you think it is? That's what I reckon's going on. I don't reckon it's got anything to do with, you know, aliens. I don't think it's got anything to do with outer space, yada, yada, yada. I reckon it's our own planet doing it to us. And not even intentionally. Whatever this thing is, there's so much electricity moving constantly, like naturally and man-made, you know, like when you affect, you know, because there's so much electrical stuff going on in our brains, if you affect those electrical fields, maybe humans start to see, oh, a bunch of weird shit.
You know what? You might just be right there, Randy, because with the location of that house and with it being kind of in a, like a, with three different points coming towards it, I would imagine there would be quite a lot of, I guess, activity that happens there. Just in general. And if you're having these external influences that potentially could be making you see things, and then you're hearing these things outside, it wouldn't be that far of a leap to say that, hey, maybe this stuff could be causing you to hallucinate or something like that.
Wow. See, look, I'm with you on that, in a normal sense, but how do you wind up, and look, this might be, I might be wrong here, but how do two people see it? The best thing about my mum's story is that she had her twin sister lying next to her to corroborate it.
Well, that's the best part of it.
They both freaked out, you know? They both saw exactly the same thing.
Yeah, yeah. And you know what? I think that adds so much more credence to an experience when you've got someone else there seeing it with you, because, like I said, it's so easy to play that rational card and go, oh, maybe I was hallucinating. Maybe A, B, or C was causing this. Yeah. But
Or having like a, you know, like a... Mum did suffer from a lot of what's it called, sleep paralysis later on in life. I think during her, like, late 20s, early 30s, she had a lot of, when I say a lot of sleep paralysis, I think she had sleep paralysis like three times. And see, this is what I mean. It's what's bizarre though. When you talk to Mum about paranormal stuff, she'll lump the, I don't know, we'll call him the buzzing man. Like, who cares? Well, she lumps the buzzing man in with sleep paralysis, whereas sleep paralysis has actually been scientifically sort of, well, you know, it's just like a disjoint in the brain where the brain hasn't caught up or something like that with your waking body and it, you know, you're still in half a dreaming state, half not. This wasn't. This is her and her sister both waking up at the same time seeing a buzzing man.
Well, that's it. And that's it. And people don't have shared sleep paralysis experiences.
No. Well, there you go, but maybe it's the twin thing, you know?
That's actually a really interesting point.
Mm.
That's some food for thought there, because I wonder if the other sister saw the creature that was in that room.
Oh, exactly, yeah. Yeah, no, this is the thing. Like, they were 15 at the time. I only came into Mum's life at, what, late 20s. And then I guess by then everyone was sick of the story. That's why I never got to hear it. Yeah, it was just, not the buzzing story again. But I know that, because I've spoken to Mum, and Mum and her sister had a falling out years ago. But Mum, even when I speak to her now, says, yeah, if you talk to your auntie, she'll say exactly the same thing. They saw exactly the same thing, heard that same weird noise. And like I said, man, if I ever get around to it, I'll send you a message, you know, like on Facebook or whatever. If I can ever recreate that sound that Mum heard, I'll send it to you, because it must be possible, you know, to get that sort of throbbing, weird, buzzing noise going on. And that actually sort of makes sense as well, like when it comes to electricity, you know, because Mum didn't know what high tension wires were back then.
Yeah, yeah. It's definitely a fascinating encounter. And the fact that off the air, you kind of told me that she's not the only person who's had this type of encounter. You've actually reached out to someone about this.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So, you know, like when I wrote to you, and then it got really stuck in my head because I'm pretty sure, if you remember, I sent you that horrible recording of me interviewing my mum. You know what I mean? Yeah, I know, probably too many beers. But but because it really stuck in my head, I sent off a couple of emails, just different people, you know, in the paranormal communities or whatever, sent an email to David Pilates from the missing 411 stuff. And, you know, I'm not expecting anything. You know what I mean? He's probably a busy man. He'd be getting thousands of, you know, weird emails, whatever. Wrote back to me the very next day and he said, yep, we've had other emails with similar or identical things to this happen as well. And I was like, and that's what freaked me out as well. Like, and that, it's sort of strange because I can't go back to my mum and say, hey, David Pilates said that other people are doing it too. She's like, who's he? You know, but you know, but in our, like, you know, in our sort of interests or world, you go, wow, if other people have reached out to him and said that this similar or identical thing has happened to them, that's even freakier. It must be going on. Something must be going on. We don't know what it is. Who knows if we ever will.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And that just adds so much fuel to this encounter, because if she's not the only person encountering, I guess, something like this, and I can tell you that I've had so many people contact me and they've had similar encounters to this. I wouldn't say it was exactly the same, but, you know, there's a lot of, I would call them, I guess, things that kind of match in. Where, you know, yeah, there's an entity in the room and it just disappears. And it kind of has that humanoid look.
Do people even talk about electricity much about it? Or they just don't, you know, it never comes up?
They do talk about a humming sound. And that's actually something that's really quite common within a UFO experience as well. So, you know, it kind of makes you think, oh, is this something that's extraterrestrial? Is this something man-made? It's there's a lot of questions when it comes to encounters and situations like this that I don't know if people will ever really get the answers that they're looking for. But if, you know, there's guys out there that are collecting the data, and, you know, the guy who does the missing 411, I don't think there's anyone better on this earth who you want collecting this data than him.
Oh, that's it, man. Yeah, the flow of info. Well, that's it. The flow of data that would be going to that man at the moment, you know, is brilliant. So, especially, it's sort of strange. Whenever people bring up the idea of extraterrestrials, I don't know. These days, I sort of shake my head and go, I just don't think it's given, because I'm obsessed with time and how long things take. You know what I mean? So when you were saying, you know, I don't know if we ever will or if they'll ever get the answers, I just don't think that the human scale of longevity, like how long we live, we will never have the answers. Time is so vast. It's so huge.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? We're in our tiny, tiny little lifespan, we're not going to be able to get to, look, unless they work it out tomorrow, that would be fantastic. You know what I mean? And then they let us know for some reason. But I don't think that we live long enough for all the data to be collected. So people like yourself and people like Pilates and so on that have actually started collecting data properly, and because, you know, the internet, bang, the intercommunication is great. It's fantastic for exactly this, you know. So maybe in 30 years, you know, there might be some sort of an answer. But coming back to the extraterrestrial thing, I just don't think it is. I think it's ours. I think it's our planet. It's not. It might not necessarily be us. Maybe interdimensional, maybe fae, maybe all of that sort of thing. That's fine. But I reckon it's created from a consciousness from the planet.
And you might just be right there, Randy, because, you know, it's, you hear people who tap into this astral realm, and who knows, maybe that's what they were doing. Maybe they were kind of in between different realms, something like that. It's such a really, really, I would say, fun thing to just try and think of all the different situations that it could be.
Really. That's right. That's insane. Yeah. And because it never ends, like, and that's part of what I love about the paranormal in general. It's so much fun, and it sort of pushes your brain in all these different directions. You can't lock it down, because if there was anyone that actually knew, well, then that would sort of be the end.
Exactly.
You just go, oh, so that's what it is. Yep. Oh, well, I may as well go and eat a cake, you know.
Yeah, exactly. And that's exactly it. And I think that's the whole beauty of paranormal, is that every person can have their own opinion, their own theory, and who knows, that person could just be right.
That's like the one out of the million theories, a bunch of stoners sitting on a couch. You know? Oh, that was actually the right one. The guy got it right back in 1974. Yeah.
Well, Randy, it's been fantastic having you on the show, mate. You've been a really fun, great guest, actually.
I tell you what, it's just interesting. And I hope that for everyone that's listening to this, if it happens to you, throw it out there. Because like we were saying, and this is what we were saying even off the air, like collecting the data and just having the data sitting around is the interesting part as well, you know.
And that's going to do it for tonight. And remember, if you have had an encounter, get in touch with me. My email address is believe@ccradio.com.au. Or you can message me on Facebook, and that's facebook.com/believeUFO radio. Until next time, stay safe, and you've been listening to Believe, Australian Paranormal and UFO Radio.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.